Starting a new series today. Next few Sundays, we'll probably continue in this vein, two for sure. But let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ezekiel 47, and starting in verse 1, King James says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he came back. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles." Verse 4, "Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters, and they were to my loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." I want us to see, because of the word of God here, that God is always wanting us to be moving forward, to be pressing on, to be moving up higher, to be growing, maturing. In this scripture, we can see, you know, he's wanting us to go deeper, deeper into him. Amen. A lot of different analogies in regarding to growing up and moving up, getting deeper, you know, different things. But I want to see, you know, God measures out, and then he comes back and he leads us. He takes us through to that spot. Then we get to a spot, and he begins to measure out some more. In the body of Christ, he's moving to the next step, moving to the next level. Hallelujah. God does not want us staying in the same spot. He wants us to follow him step by step by step. Now, he didn't, you notice Ezekiel didn't just run out there and jump in. You know, when we see the ocean, jump in and swim out and swim back. No, he went as he was led. Went out, got his ankles wet. Got involved with the ankle wet. Just hung out there. Well, the guy was out measuring 1,000 cubits. Watched him. Then he came back to get him, and he led him. Went out to his knees. And then he just hung out there, enjoying it, at his knees. And then the measurement went out. The guide came back and brought him out to his loins. He just didn't do his own thing. We can't just be doing our own plans. We can't just be doing our own thing, our own ideas. We need to be led. We need to be going step by step as he leads in his direction, getting deeper and deeper, or we could say higher and higher. Amen. That's God's heart. God's heart for us to change. in St. Louis of October 24th, 1997, Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meeting. Friday of the St. Louis Holy Ghost meeting, Brother Hagin was instructed by the Spirit of God to lay hands on pastors and to send them forth as messengers of light. Now, I wasn't in St. Louis, but I was at the satellite meeting at Sarnia Christian Center. And Brother Hagin didn't say, you know, we're going to pray for the youth pastors or pray for the assistant pastors. He said, I'm praying for the pastors, the ones who are in charge. I mean, if assistant pastor, an associate pastor, you know, wants to flow in this direction and the pastor doesn't, you need to submit, keep quiet, or just move on. But it's not the associate's job to tell the pastor what to do. And so Brother Hagin said, associates, I'm not asking you to come up. I'm asking the head pastor, the senior pastor, the one who God has put in charge. And it was his heart. He said, this is what God has told me to send you out as messengers of light. And what? Well, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. So that's why I'm sharing this, okay? That's why I'm going to teach, and we're going to go for these next few Sundays where I'm going. In camp meeting, 1987, 1 month before I went to Rhema. Camp meeting was in July, and I ended up in Tulsa in August. And I learned a lot. Oh, thank God. Staying open to God and learned a lot. Amen? Staying open, God corrected and learned a lot. Moved up higher. Brother Hagin had a vision of Jesus. And one of the things Jesus told him was that each service, or there are different services, and each service has a purpose. There is a purpose. He said one of the things about, I'd say North America, he said one of the things about, you know, in America, one of the things about North America, the church in North America, is we try to pack, you know, a bunch of different services into one. We try to, you know, we try to make it a convention, make it a prayer meeting, make it a worship service, make it a teaching service, make it a crusade. We try to pack everything into 1 or 2 hours. And the purpose gets muddied, and you don't accomplish as much as if we just followed the purpose and plan that God has for us. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus corrected him. They had prayer and healing school. They still got going on. But as Brother Hagin was walking to healing school one day, walking down the back hall, the Spirit of God said, what's the purpose? Or what's the purpose? Or what do you call this meeting? Well, it's healing school. So this is not a worship service. And Brother Hagin said, no. And so the Holy Ghost said, then don't spend so much time worshiping and spend most of your time teaching. Amen? If the purpose was healing school, I mean, that's the name that God gave him. That's the name that was over top. You know, that was the purpose, healing school. So Jesus said, just sing a couple songs to get people to enter in. Boom, take off and start teaching. Like you've heard me say here, you know, our prayer meeting. We want to accomplish our purpose. That's where I got it from. You know, if we're going to sing for 45 minutes and pray for 10 minutes, then it's not a prayer meeting because we're not praying. We're not accomplishing the purpose of the meeting. And the Holy Ghost corrected him again. Prayer and healing school. And they started counseling people. I mean, people just had questions, had problems, had, you know, situations, and they came. So they built prayer and healing, the prayer and healing center, and then they built little rooms where they could do counseling. And the Lord said, I never told you to counsel. I told you about prayer and healing school. I never told. That was your own plan, was to begin counseling people. So Brother Hagin got corrected. And thank God he was teachable and received correction from the Spirit of God. Amen? That's part of that measuring out, taking a few steps, moving up higher, moving deeper into him. And that's one thing that he explained about purpose. Purpose. God has a purpose for everything. Our Sunday morning services are different than our Wednesday night services. Our Wednesday night services are different than our prayer meetings. And our prayer meetings are even different than our all-night prayer meetings because the purposes are different. Matter of fact, Wednesday night services, sometimes the purpose is different. Sunday morning service, there is a general purpose to the Sunday morning service. Now, as the Spirit of God leads, sometimes there'll be variances. But I endeavor, amen, since we only meet once a week. Imagine if we just sang for an hour or 2 hours every Sunday, and I let you go. The Bible never says that it's through praise we shall know praise, and praise will set us free. Now Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus, when there was the doubt and unbelief in Nazareth, he went to his hometown and there could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. The Bible did not say he went about holding praise sessions. No, the Bible says he went about teaching and preaching in the synagogues. There was a purpose to what he was doing. Amen? Now there's a place for worship, there's a place for praise, but there's a place for the Word of God. And so that's one big emphasis of a Sunday morning service, is to build us up, to teach us the Word of God, to have the Spirit of God impart truths to us so we can go throughout the week being fed and then meditating on that, growing. Amen? Hallelujah. So there is a purpose to be accomplished. And as I said, the Spirit of God may change things every now and then. And that's his prerogative. He's the one in charge. But there's a general purpose in every meeting. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 4. Talking about purpose. You know? Someone may think, well, I wonder why they don't do things like the Baptist there. That's not our purpose. I wonder why they don't do things like the Pentecostal church there. That's not our purpose. You know? I wonder why they don't do things like the Full Gospel Businessmen, Women's Aglow. That's not our purpose. Amen? Why don't they do things like the Vineyard? That's not our purpose. Boy, why don't they do things like Foundations of Faith? That's not our purpose. Hooked up with the same thing, going in the same direction, but you know what? Our purpose is even different from them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 4. Starting in verse 19. I'll let you know the title of my message is Lifting Holy Hands. And the woman said to Jesus, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus operated in the manifestations of the Spirit, and she all of a sudden said, I perceive that you are a prophet. And because she perceived this, she had a question that was kind of dogging her. She had a question that was on her mind. She wasn't sure of something. And she figured this is the perfect opportunity to find out the way it is, to find out who's right. She said, Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. This woman was a Samaritan woman. They were half-breeds. They weren't all Jew. They were partly Jew. In Israel, the Jews did not like the Samaritans. And this woman said, we as the Samaritans, you know, we believe that we ought to be worshiping God in this mountain. And you believe it's in Jerusalem that we ought to be worshiping. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation or deliverance is of the Jews. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "Who's right? We believe we ought to worship in the mountain. You believe, ought to worship in Jerusalem. Who's right? Who's right? I perceive you're a prophet. Who's right?" What did Jesus say? Neither. Neither. I mean, we've been following God's plan, but he says God is just about to change the format of worship. God is making changes. He's measured out another 1,000 cubits. And he's walking back, beginning to take us, to get us deeper in, to cause us to move up higher. He said, neither's right. I'm changing the format of worship. The Father's changing the format of worship. And he said, "For the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." You do understand that in the Old Testament, no one was born again. In the Old Testament, no one was born again. It was only the king and the prophet. The king and the priests, the priest, the prophet. The Spirit of God would come upon them to accomplish and do the will of God. But everyone else, unless there was a specific task, we read about, building the temple, and the Spirit of God would come upon people to perform a task. But the Spirit never stayed on the people. The Spirit of God would only come upon occasionally. The Old Testament, there were no born again. They couldn't do anything in the Spirit. That's why we read, talking about people, they danced before the Lord. In the New Covenant, we're not supposed to dance before the Lord. We're to dance in the Spirit. Amen? Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God said, worship, I'm changing. We ought to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. God is making a change. And he seeks such to worship him. The last night of camp meeting, Brother Hagin sat down and began to prophesy, and then moved over into praying out the mysteries and interpreting some things. Those that were at our prayer meeting that one night where I played the tape, we heard what he said. But he said one thing. The Spirit of God, as he was praying out the mysteries, the Spirit of God reminded him of a meeting. I don't remember when it was. I don't know if it was a year ago or what. But he reminded him of a meeting in Las Vegas. And the Lord said some things in Las Vegas. And I wrote it down. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, "Spiritually, you have gone as far as you can under the present circumstances. Tell my people to stop clapping and go to praising. Then they will move up to greater glory." Moving up to greater glory. God has changed the format of worship. He's measured out another 1,000 cubits. And he's coming and he's drawing us. He wants us to move up higher. Yeah, but things were great 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. Glory to God. We're walking in the light that we had. Flowing in the light that we had. God's not condemning us. He's saying, listen, let's get out beyond the knees now and let's get up to the loins. Amen? It's time to move on. Oh, I'm so grateful. I got to Rhema. A month after this happened, to where I could be taught and trained. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. God is preparing me. You know what? God saw Spirit of Life 10 years ago when I was being prepared. God hasn't prepared me just for me. I'm beginning to see God has prepared and deposited things in me for you, for the body of Christ. Because God said that He's given gifts to men, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm a gift to you. Boy, that's not to be taken lightly. That's an awesome responsibility God has given me. And He said the format of worship has changed. Spiritually, you've gone as far as you can. In order to move up higher, in order to get greater glory, He said it's time to stop clapping and begin praising. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Jesus told Brother Hagin, He said, you know what? There's some things I want to do. There's some things I want to do in coming years. There's some things I want to do, you know, the next decade, be in the 90s. There's things I want to do. And in order for you to, you know, get wet up to your loins, you're going to have to take some steps, moving up higher or moving in deeper. You're going to have to start making some changes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be thinking, this is just all what Brother Hagin says. Where is it in the Bible? Well, we're going to get to the Bible, I assure you. I don't ever, and this is my commitment, not only to myself, but my commitment to you, is I don't ever endeavor to just preach someone's revelation, to preach someone's vision. I want to know, what does the Word of God have to say about it? And just hanging around with Brother Hagin, not personally, but being at Rhema for 2 years, watching him, hearing him, that's his heart. You know, if Jesus told him some things and he said, okay, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, Jesus, where's that in the Bible? And Jesus would come up with, you know, one obscure verse or you know, it's like, well this is beyond the Bible. Well, you know what Brother Hagin would do. He'd shut that thing down right away. I ain't continuing in this. This is no vision from God. You're not Jesus, you deceptive devil. And he'd go on. But every time, Jesus always brings the Word of God. So we're going to get into more Word. Hallelujah. John 4, we found out God is changing worship. We're not necessarily to do things like they used to do. We're to do things new. We're to do things worshiping God in spirit and truth. True worshipers. Well, weren't they true worshipers back then? They were truly worshiping. You know, walking in the light they had. The Bible is progressive revelation. You read things in Genesis, you read things in Job, that we find out in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, in the epistles, you know, we've got more revelation, more light, a deeper understanding of more accurately. God's not the one that puts sickness on them. We found out it's the devil. More light. And it's getting brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. Now, I'll just continue on. So camp meeting 1987. Brother Hagin and Jesus were above the roof at the convention center the week before camp meeting started. And there was a big hole in the roof. The roof disappeared and they were looking down, just watching the service. And everyone's clapping, you know, having a good time, enjoying themselves, having a great time at camp meeting. Amen? And Jesus said, clapping is neither praise nor worship. Clapping is applause. For example, you go to the bar and people can be clapping. You go to a sporting event, people can be clapping. You can go to a political ceremony. You could go to some kind of a celebrity ceremony, and people are clapping. They're not worshiping God. They're clapping. They're applauding. Now, clapping is not wrong in its right place. But Jesus said, clapping is neither praise nor worship. In other words, our clapping doesn't praise him, and our clapping doesn't worship him. He shared some events. He shared in regards to reverence of the Spirit of God. Reverence. You know, someone will prophesy or someone will be sharing something from the Lord. And all of a sudden, they'd have to stop in the middle because the Lord said something important, and then everyone would start clapping. And no one could hear. You know, the Holy Ghost doesn't interrupt himself. Amen. You know, and sometimes Brother Hagin said, you know, and I'm not at this point. You know, he's been in the ministry for over 60 years. At that time, it was just over 50. But he said he could sense sometimes when people would clap, he would have to stop to wait for the people to quiet down so he can continue on. Sometimes he said he couldn't continue on because it grieved the Spirit and the Spirit of God would leave. The unction was gone. Well, I choose to believe Brother Hagin and what he said. Okay, you know, that's what you experienced. I believe you. Okay? The Holy Ghost wouldn't interrupt himself. I understand that. There's a reverence. Reverence. Brother Hagin, or Kenneth Copeland, has a book out called Sensitivity of Heart. And it's a whole book about being sensitive and reverent to the Spirit of God. As we learn to be reverent to Him, as we learn to be sensitive to Him, the door opens for Him to move. And being sensitive to Him does not always mean being quiet, but being sensitive to Him. Amen? If He wants us to dance in the Spirit and shout, well, blessed be God, let's dance in the Spirit and shout. Let's not be insensitive. Let's not be irreverent and not flow with Him. Amen? But if He wants us on His knees, on our knees, worshiping Him, oh, get on our knees and worship Him. We don't need people running around. We don't need people talking. We don't know. Reverence of the Holy Ghost. And as we reverence, respect Him, He's able to move. Hey, this morning, sweet presence of God. We stood in awe of Him. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful. The presence of the Lord is good. Jesus told Brother Hagin, the world claps, but the saints praise. You know, you don't go to these places and see people raising their hands. There was one place where there were hands raised. Do you remember that? Hitler thought he was the Messiah, and he had his people raise their hands and say, Hail Hitler. He didn't even ask them to clap. He said, Hallelujah. Raising our hands and giving Him all glory and honor. Hallelujah. He made one more statement. Praising God instead of clapping is like saying sic'em to the preacher. Patsy Bierman, who now is Patsy Caminetti, she worked with Brother Hagin for years. She gave us as students a little key. She said, you know, Brother Hagin can be preaching and he can be flowing. But he says, if you want to prod him on, if you want to let him know that you're with him and you're hooked up, and so he just begins to yield and flow better or more, she said, begin saying amen. Begin shouting glory. Begin hooking up with them, letting them hear that you are hooked up with them. And that's what Brother Hagin said. He says, instead of clapping, we're praising God. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's like saying to the preacher, sick him, like a dog, sick him. Getting a hold of a bone. All of a sudden, it helps the preacher get more with the program. Amen. It helps, like that wave behind them. You can have a little bitty wave. Be surfing. Oh, but when we as the people get behind the preacher, it's like a bigger wave. Boom. Off and going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, a few more minutes. Let's turn to Psalm 63. So you say, why are you talking about this again? Well, because I've been sent forth as a messenger of light. Yeah, but why isn't anyone else preaching this? Well, everyone's part of their own company. Amen. Peter and John were sent back after they were told to quit preaching, quit talking in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that they left and they went to their own company and began to pray. And this is our company. This is the way we're flowing. I'm just wanting to let you know, I'm trying to pass this on to you. Amen. As a messenger of light, anointed by the Spirit of God, sent forth by the Spirit of God, this is the way we're flowing. And I want you to know why. Because, as the body of Christ, we've only been able to go so far. For example, like the first scripture I read, we've only been able to get knee deep. It's like, this is fun, but I want to get wet above my knees. How do I do that? We've only been able to go as far. See, because God can only bless us. If we're doing our own plan and our own thing, He can only bless us to a certain degree. Because if He would begin to bless us completely, then He would be putting His stamp of approval on our plans. Because God loves us, my goodness, because He loves us, He'll bless us even when we're missing it. I know homosexuals who God has blessed and anointed in music ministry. Why would He do that? One of them, 10 years ago, played on the Rhema Singers and Band. How can that be? I heard him sing psalms by the Spirit of God. How can that be? God is a God of love. That should give us hope. He's not going to strike us dead because we made a mistake. Whew. But He can only bless us so far. And if He goes on blessing us and completely blessing us, then He puts His stamp of approval on our plans. But no. He had only blessed because of His love. And then all of a sudden we come to a spot where it's just like, I've only made it to my knees. How do I get farther? Amen? Well, we need to change. We need to move up higher. We need to step in deeper. Amen? God is such a good God. He's such a wonderful Father. That's why, tell my people to stop clapping and go to praising, then they will move up to greater glory. I don't know about you, but when I heard that, I got excited because I'm wanting to get up into greater glory. I'm wanting to get just, a little more than my knees wet. Let me get up to my loins. Let's get into the river. Swimming in the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, if that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. Psalm 63. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen of thee in the sanctuary, or like I say, you know, I've seen some things but not a lot. So I read this verse this way, to see thy power and thy glory, so have I have heard of thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow, in the presence of your wings, will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee, and my right hand upholdeth thee, upholdeth me. Hallelujah. Now let's read this again. Verse 1 and verse 2, and then we're going to pop to the last, into the last half of verse 4. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So have I heard of thee in the sanctuary. I will lift up my hands in your name. Hallelujah. We're getting kind of the flow there. To see thy power and thy glory, I will lift up my hands in your name. Oh, to see thy power and thy glory, I'll get to clapping. No, I'll lift up my hands in your name. Lifting up my hands in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's an exciting scripture. Oh, an exciting word of the Lord, to see thy power and thy glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, 8. We're going to touch on some of the lifting up hands scripture. The next week, we'll get into the rest about clapping. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What is one kind of prayer? One kind or one type of prayer is praise and worship. Prayer is communication with the Father. Praise and worship, communication with the Father. So we could read it, and without doing any injustice to the Word of God, we could say, I will therefore that men praise everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Hebrews chapter 12. And we can just, well, we'll just start in verse 11. Hebrews 12, 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. I mean, when God's correcting us, when he's instructing us, when he's rebuking us, it's not always a joyful thing. God, quit bringing that up. I don't want to hear about that anymore. Son, you got to pass the test. Son, you got to pass in order for me to promote you. Okay. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or trained, or who have completed their training. Verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, hallelujah, lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the hands that hang down. Glory, we're being encouraged. Encouraged, lift up your hands, hallelujah. Now, we'll take a few minutes just to kind of introduce next week. Clapping. This is every scripture in the whole Bible on clapping. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine scriptures. Clap, clapping, clappeth, claps, clapper, whatever. This is it. Let me read. Job 27 and verse 23. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. You know, you're making fun of people. You know, I don't know, you know, high school, you see this more than anywhere. Their school, you know, they're clapping, they're hissing, got out of his place, you know, laughing and clapping. Ah, ha, you know, fell out of his chair, you know, tripped in gym, whatever. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. Psalms 98 and verse 8. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Talking about floods, talking about hills. Isaiah 55, 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Trees. Lamentations 2, 15. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Clapping their hands, slapping their leg. Ah, is this that wonderful place? Who are you trying to kid? Nahum 3 and verse 19. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? This is talking about a nation of people that are very, very evil. And it says, there's no healing to your bruise. The nation has been hurt. The nation has been defeated. The nation has, the wound is grievous, and all that hear the bruit of thee shall clap their hands. Yay! They're fallen. They're defeated. They're in pain. For upon whom hath thy wickedness passed continually? Their wickedness had passed upon many, 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 many nations. And these nations are now clapping, oh, and they're glad. Finally, they're getting what they gave out. 2 Kings 11. And he brought forth the king's son, talking about Josiah, and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. They clapped to honor a man. God save the king. They're not worshiping God. They're clapping to give the king honor. Ezekiel 25, 6. For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands and stamped thy feet and rejoiced in heart with all thy despite against the land of Israel. Not talking about praise or worship. Talking about the enemies. Job 34, 37. For he addeth rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. No praise or worship. But there is one verse. One verse. Psalm 47 and verse 1. In the Hebrew, if we look in our Bible at this verse, there's little bitty letters underneath the word 47 that says, to the chief musician, a psalm for, or the psalm of the sons of Korah. In the Hebrew, that's all in there. It's not just little words and then all of a sudden you go to verse 1. That's all in there. Psalm 47, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm or a poem put to music of the sons of Korah. O clap your hands. All ye people shout unto God with the voice of triumph. This is the only scripture in the whole Bible that gives reference to us clapping. And next week we're going to look at this word. We're going to look at the Hebrew word clap. The first key to Bible interpretation, as I shared before, is in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's what the Spirit of God said in the New Testament. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. In other words, if there's only one scripture that tells us something and no other scriptures around it, no other scriptures in the Bible that are flowing in that same thing, that say the same thing, then it's time. See, that's how cults get into error. They'll take one scripture out of context and blow it up. Amen? So in order to stay safe, in order to stay in the counsel of God, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen? So we need to find more scriptures. Well, this is all there is. So we're going to dig in and we're going to find out why. The Hebrew word is actually used almost 100 times in the Old Testament. And most of the time it's used, it's translated blow, as in blow the trumpet. Only this one time it's used as clap. So we'll get into that. Let me just mention, first of all, it's written to the chief musician about a psalm put to music. So, is there a right time to clap? Well, sure. That's why we clap, to keep time with the music. Amen. If we had a special speaker come in, we could clap and let them know that we honor them. Amen. You know, there are times. Clapping in itself is not wrong. It's just we need to know when to do it and when not to do it. So that's what we'll get into next week. Find out what the Hebrew has to say about clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up.